No, I was looking down because I was shoveling snow. I did not see any moon. Our groups that are coming, just to kind of review, we try and put things on the webpage and stuff. Our men's group runs Tuesday night. Our ladies' group runs Wednesday morning. There's going to be on Wednesday night a Romans class. On Thursday, there's foundations. And then Sunday morning before service, every Sunday morning is the Book of John that happens if you're looking for a group to go to. In a 15-year study, they asked high school students across the United States, if they were in an emerging situation, would you save your dog or a stranger? Most students answered they would not save the stranger. Their response, I love my dog, I do not love the stranger. How do we make decisions based on the motivation of feeling love toward one thing but not another? Our feelings or our ideas on what love is can sometimes cause us to act in ways that look very different than how Jesus has asked us to prioritize our lives by loving God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourself, defining our neighbor as anyone in need, both locally and around the world. How do we impact our world that doesn't seem to function with many absolutes or little concept of what might be actually right or wrong? Let's pray. God, you are ultimately the fulfiller of dreams. You want us to experience all that is good and possible in our lives. Help us to depend on you for wisdom and guidance as we walk through the spiritual sojourn. Strengthen us to do what we know you have declared to be true. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been preaching through the book of 1 Peter. Today our text is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 to 12. Ernie's going to put it up, and I'm going to read it. Then you'll be able to follow along. 1 Peter 2, 9 to 12. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and exiles to abstain from the desires of the flesh that wage war against the soul. Conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles, so that though they may malign you as evildoers, they may see your honorable deeds and glorify God when he comes to judge. Peter continues his letters to the group of churches that are in Northwest Asia Minor. It would be easy for them to get discouraged because they're a minority in this culture and are seen by the general public as outcasts or not exactly fitting in. The apostle encourages them to focus on God and all the changes he's brought in their lives. Their interaction with Christ has revolutionized the whole purpose of their existence, and the priorities have completely changed. Even though they continue to live in a somewhat hostile environment, they can respond to others with grace and truth. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10. We're reminded that we are made brand new in Christ. Peter starts out in verse 9 by saying, but, which relates back to verse 8. A stone that makes them stumble, a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobeyed the word, as they were destined to. Even though there are those who have chosen to reject Christ or have not yet acknowledged that he's the source of spiritual life, it's different for you. There's a contrast between those who reject Jesus Christ and those who completely embrace him. Verse 9, Peter affirms that there are chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. The language he is using is very similar to how God described his relationship with the nation of Israel in the Old Testament. Just like God revealed what he was like to the world through Israel in the Old Testament, he's now using the Christian church to represent him today. In our Western thinking, it's important that we notice that the four descriptive phrases that the apostle uses to describe the church are not singular. They're plural. We enjoy the privileges of our relationship with God in the context of a community or a family. The scriptures were not written to individuals, but rather to groups of people, and so they must be interpreted and lived out as such. In the second part of verse 9, it goes on to state, because you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, God's own people, it was in order that you may proclaim the excellence of him who called you out of darkness into marvelous light. The purpose of the church is to be a beacon of light in the darkness. People who have engaged Christ automatically want their friends and even their enemies alike to experience the peace and joy that can only be found in Jesus. When God touches your life, nothing is ever the same again. When people encounter the risen Christ, they want others to experience this life-transforming engagement. Just like in John 1, 36 to 41, when John the Baptist declared Jesus the Lamb of God, Andrew began following Jesus, and then bursting with excitement, he tells his brother, "We have found the Christ." We invite others to come and see what we have found so they can have it too. Verse 10, it says, "Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you've received mercy." He goes on to underline the changes the church fellowship has encountered. They went from doing their own thing to now being the people of God, belonging to God. They're part of the family of God. Previously, they had not experienced mercy, but now they're recipients of his mercy. Rejected, but now accepted, because they received the good news of Christ. A Sunday school teacher asked a little girl in her class, "Do you think you have a new heart?" The child replied, "Yes, I know I do." The teacher said, "What makes you so sure?" The little girl responded, "Because I love the things I used to hate, and I hate what I used to love." This does not apply to vegetables. In 1 Peter 2, 11 to 12, we're encouraged to learn to live in a whole new way. We live in a world that is driven by consuming goods and is energized by instant gratification. The thinking in is more we make, the more we're able to spend, the greater freedom we achieve. I was saying to Carrie the other night, I'm sure glad that I'm not in Hollywood as an actor or as an actress. I wouldn't want their lives for the millions of dollars. I don't know how they cope mentally. It's crazy. The expectations, the demands, everything that's on them. You cannot walk into a restaurant or go to buy gas without somebody recognizing you. It's not worth it. It's not worth what they have. In verse 11, "Beloved, I urge you, as aliens and exiles, to abstain from the desires of the flesh that wage war against the soul." Well, I guess there are aliens out there after all. Peter urges these Christians not to set their priorities by the values of the culture they're living in. He refers to them as aliens and exiles, as their guests in the Roman provinces in which they're living. We have stated before that these churches find themselves on the outside looking in into an uncharitable world because of their faith in Jesus. They can be taken advantage of quite easily with no recourse and with no one to defend them. They are to live their lives by being above reproach, people of integrity who fear God more than people. And this in turn will give others an attractive option to the pagan lifestyle that is all around them. My friend Daryl would say to my brother, my cousin, and I, that there was something different about our lives that he could not see in the other people he went to high school with. He wasn't exactly sure what it was, but he wanted to find out what it was. The Apostle Peter goes on in the second part of verse 11 to say, "Abstain," or "stay away from the desires of the flesh that wage war against the soul." What are the things that affect our spiritual growth with God? Anything in the extreme or without protective parameters can be damaging to us. From money to sex to phones, the amount of time on the internet to how much we eat to how little we eat. We need to revisit the idea of moderation and balance within the society. Simplicity. Words like self-control, patience, self-sacrifice, kindness, forgiveness, they seem like lost words to us. When I was in Los Angeles a number of years ago, they had released a study on how much the topic of sex is used in TV programming. Within a 2-year period, it had gone up from 50% to 66% in all programs being produced on TV. To say that we are fixated on sex is an understatement. And yet we don't seem to be any happier than previous generations. If anything, we are lonelier. Sex may sell, but it does not heal the brokenness of our souls. We want more and more to bend the boundaries outside an exclusive relationship between one man and one woman that God intended. The direction that we're headed in seems to be anything but the answer. Peter encourages the listeners to put off or set aside these temporary sinful passions that don't bring lasting fulfillment and destroy us internally. Instead, in verse 12, Peter gives a different option or a framework. Conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles, so that though they may malign you as evildoers, they may see your honorable deeds and glorify God when he comes to judge. The Christians are to conduct themselves honorably with the people that are living around them, even though the followers of Christ can easily be taken advantage of. They're to remain blameless in their actions. Often when we feel we're not being treated justly or fairly, we want to take control of the situation and punish the other person while vindicating ourselves. Peter suggests a better approach. He says, keep doing what's right, even though others may accuse you of things or speak badly of you. Sooner or later, what is true will come to light. There'll be those who gossip about you and tell lies about you to discredit you. But it doesn't take very long to distinguish between those who have character and those who wish they had. When people tell lies, sooner or later they get caught in their own web. But even if our vindication doesn't happen in this life, be assured that God will right everything in the life that is to come. 7 ways which we can rationalize our way to ruin. 1, everyone's doing it. 2, just try it once. 3, it's just a little lie. 4, no one ever needs to know. 5, no one will really get hurt. 6, if I don't, someone else will. 7, I deserve it. As we learn to live in a new way, we want to be consistent with our integrity toward others and toward God. How we live out our lives not only impacts us, but also has influence on all those around us. If for a second you were to close your eyes, think about how many personal engagements and interactions that you've had with others this last week. For some of you, it's been hundreds of people. And then about all those who are watching you, from your children, your neighbors, your coworkers, those of you who are on your computers all day long need to find a way to walk around the block on one of your breaks to make sure you have at least one personal sighting a day. We can all be influencers, just like we can all be influenced by others. How do we live our lives so that we're able to honor God, grow spiritually, and you remain close enough to touch the people around us? We need to model and be examples of people who forgive while we hope, believe, and think the best of others. God has given us gifts to help to guide us in our spiritual health. The Bible, God's written word, continually reveals how to keep our relationship with God and each other healthy and clean. There's also the avenue of praying, where we can talk to Jesus and share with him the most intimate part of our being and have him fill us with his presence. We have the church community who affirms and encourages us together in who we are in Christ. Can we say this morning that we are doing what is right in our lives in the midst of a chaotic world in which we live? The Holy Spirit has a wonderful way of gently revealing things that need to go in our lives. Rob Reamer says, the more junk we get let go of, the more access and space we can give to God. For some, it might be who we're hanging out with. For others, how we use our words, words of life, words of death. What we watch, pornography. How we treat our bodies. How we react to others. The unchecked thoughts that are racing around in our heads that are untrue or even damaging. Let's be a people who are tender to the words of the Scripture and to the guidance of the Holy Spirit as we allow God to do his transforming work in us. Let's pray. God, we come to you desiring to be transparent. We want very much to grow deeper in our understanding and love of you. Make us aware of the things that we partake in that grieve your heart. We want others to be introduced to you because of the goodness that you have extended us. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Still.
couple of announcements. The benediction, we'll sing one more song and then you'll be dismissed. Our next youth is going to happen in February. The groups are running. Our Sunday school is running. If you want prayer today, there'll be somebody in the back corner that'll pray for you. So there are aliens out there after all. You guys didn't catch that. Or maybe I was just too fast. I don't know. Let me tell you a secret. You can't make it on your own. And neither can I. And God knows that. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing that he comes to embrace us. There's no way we can live anything close to a holy life without God's presence in us, without him filling us and giving to us and helping us when temptation and everything else comes. And so I can encourage you in any way, when you feel tempted or you're going down a path or you're saying things you shouldn't be saying, ask the Holy Spirit to come and help you. Let him give you the strength and the courage and the grace. Amen.
Please stand.